Welcome indeed. This is Arnaldo, your host of Tommy's Holiday Camp, and welcome to, yes, another Friday evening from 7 to 9. Hope you're having a wonderful time out there on the weekend starts here in, yes, in wondrous downtown Occidental. The farmer's market is going on very strongly, so hope if everyone who's nearby wants to go down there, please go down there. Before all the wonderful produce, food, and music is all gone for this week. So anyway, this is Arnaldo, and you're listening to Cows Radio 107.3 FM on your frequency modulating dial. And my show this week will contain, we got a live guest in the studio, and that is Woody Simmons, a wonderful folk singer and banjo player and guitarist. And hope you're going to enjoy this. We're going to be chatting and playing. So, as you know, a couple of days ago, Les Paul passed away. So, yeah, so, oh, you didn't know, Miss Laura? Yeah, so I thought I'd do a little Les Paul. The phone number in the studio is 874-1073, area code 707, and this is for you. Yes, that was Les Paul and For You. And that's in memory of Les Paul, who passed away this week. Yes, my special guest in the studio today is Woody Simmons.
Hello.
Hi, Woody.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land.
Indeed, we are our far-flung fields, we call it, as we're cows.
I love that name, cows.
I know. And of course,
it's perfect. Of course, because we are out in the fields.
Exactly. Actually, it's a very clever acronym. COWS, O-W-S, is Occidental West Sonoma.
Wow, that's
so
deep.
It is.
That's almost too deep for me to think about.
We'll have to chew on it.
Yeah, I would turn that one around a little bit. Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, Woody, thank you so much for coming in. Into the studio and to chat and play.
It's my pleasure. How did you ever think of this? What were you thinking?
Well, darn it, I've so enjoyed your music for so many years, I thought, what the heck? Lots of other people should enjoy it.
Well, thank you, Arnold. I'm really very pleased to be here.
Oh, great.
And it's been so many years since I've been here, actually.
Yeah, you used to be, used to live out here?
No, you know, when I was about 19, which is about 3-4 years ago. Mm. Yeah. I came out here with some friends, and I came out from Iowa, and I had never really been out of Iowa, quite frankly. And so this is where we came, oddly enough, was Occidental, and there was a commune here, and it was fascinating and eye-opening and really fun. And yeah, so that was my first experience here. I loved it here.
Yeah, so to go so directly from Iowa to Occidental. Oh, my goodness.
Is that wild? Yeah. From the cows and the corn to the cows and the... I don't know, they grow corn out here?
We're corny,
that's why I was so comfortable. A lot of cows.
Exactly.
I don't know. Anyway.
But, yeah, so that was many, many years ago. And so I always ask, you know, what... Obviously, you're a wonderful musician. What inspired you to be a musician?
Well, I started very, very young.
Okay.
So I don't even know what that inspiration was about, but I was probably 3 years old when I started.
Oh.
And I started performing professionally when I was about 15. And I had started writing songs, and I was performing as a singer-songwriter in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually started touring and started doing all my own material. Mm. And then I started learning banjo, probably when I was about, I think I was about 21, 22.
So you came to it later then?
Yeah.
After the guitar?
Well, it always fascinated me to look at them. I thought they were so odd looking and cool and, you know. I didn't know, you know, people would make fun of me for playing the banjo, but, you know.
I know what you mean. I've got a lady who's an accordion player coming next week, so it's a similar type of thing.
You play the banjo. That's very nice. Yeah. Hee-haw.
Oh, dear.
Nanny.
Indeed. But the wonderful thing about you don't just play the banjo like the banjo. You do things with it that haven't been done to a banjo before.
Well, hopefully nothing too racy. But yes, I was I don't even know how to say this, but I was a Beatles fan, but it was, you know, sort of an obsession. And loved the Beatles.
Yeah.
And all the musical things and changes and... evolution of their music, listening to all that, and one of my favorite albums had what was that? The black and white. God, what was the name of that album?
Black and the early one, very
mm-hmm,
early.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the with the Beatles,
yeah,
the four faces in half shadow.
Yeah. So there was anyway a lot of sitar. They started using Ravi Shankar and...
Oh, that, that's Revolver.
Yes, Revolver.
That's their
best
album.
They brought in a sitar, and they brought in all this really different kind of montage of all these different things, instruments. And when I first started playing the banjo, I thought, wow, that actually sounds a little sitarish because of the drone fifth string and what you could do with it. And so I started... playing with it once I kind of learned a frailing technique, which is odd. It's because it's an old technique that actually it's not that popular. Three-fingered picking, bluegrass style, is much more popular for banjo. And the old-timey open back frailing isn't really that cool, you know. But that's what I learned. And I took that and started writing banjo raga, which is the first piece that I wrote, and it's in an open G, kind of a G fifth tuning. And really wanted to try to bring out that sitar, sitarishness. Is right. that a word?
It should be. We now declare it's a word.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps you may. Would you like to play that? Possibly that banjo raga.
Sure.
That'd be a great introduction.
Okay.
Just so people know.
I didn't know. Let me retune here. And,
oh, is that? Well, unless there's something else that, if you got it without retuning, unless it's not difficult.
Call in if you mind if I retune.
Okay.
There you go. Are you calling?
874-1073. Call us in.
Here, now they can hear where it's going to go. Here.
Ooh. Down.
I have headphones on. Wait a second.
Oh, that may be difficult, yeah. One person's tuning is another person's wonderful music.
Okay, let me take these off and...
Yeah.
I'll play it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Woody Simmons and Banjo Raga.
Does go out of tune. You have to thrash it for a while before it stops going out of tune. So I apologize for that. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. So that was one of the first songs you ever wrote?
On banjo, yep.
Oh, on banjo, for banjo.
Yeah.
So when was that? That was before you came out here?
I was living in Seattle at the time.
Okay.
So I went back to Iowa and then I moved to Seattle. And wasn't quite ready to come here. It's a little scary. And
step at a time.
Step at a time, yeah. So I probably wrote that in 74, maybe. 73, 74, around there.
So then really about 3 years later, then you put out your first album then.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been...
That is true. And right around the same time I started writing Sweet for Wings. That's on Banjo-Rama.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also on Oregon Mountains.
Yes, indeed.
So Oregon Mountains was the first album, and that was 1977. And, it's on CD now, finally.
Thank goodness. Originally back, that was the first time I ever, heard you. It was back in about 77, somebody, when I was in San Francisco living there, and somebody had your, gave me your album and said, you got to listen to this, and I did a cassette, and that cassette lasted me a long time, but now I've got all your albums, and Oregon Mountain is incredible. It's one of my favorite albums of all time.
Really? Thank you. That's
honestly
quite nice.
It has a lot of, your music. We haven't heard you sing yet, but your music has a lot of sort of wistfulness, whimsy, melancholy sort of side of life. Is that, would you call it that? A lot of your music.
I would say that would probably define Oregon Mountains.
Okay, from that time, right.
Yeah, a little melancholy, and not. I mean, it was sort of a mix. I certainly wasn't melancholy all the time.
No, that's true. I'm not. No. Yeah, because you can be that melancholy sound, but be happy. It's that just that in that tone or something.
Right.
In that mode, I suppose.
Right.
But the big thing about when you came to San Francisco is that in the late 70s, you really got involved with that burgeoning women's music that was happening with Olivia Records and that whole scene. Could you maybe tell us something what was happening there in San Francisco at that time?
I had met Margie Adam at a... festival put on by Kate Millett in, I think it was in Davis at the university.
Mm.
And there was a big, she had put on a big music festival. And from that, playing with Margie a little bit, I met Chris Williamson.
Mm.
And when Chris did her Changer in the Changed album, I... was asked to play banjo, so I played banjo on one cut.
Mm.
And I had met everybody and had Olivia. They were producing the album. And I actually ended up touring with Chris for a little while in California. And then I started to perform more solo stuff and then started work on Oregon Mountains. And that we released that in the fall of 77. And then I toured quite a bit with Nancy Vogel, who's a singer-songwriter, and a woman named Christine Bagley toured with me.
Okay.
And we went all over. And it was a huge women's network of music production and audience. And there was a pretty good-sized network in those years.
Yeah.
And there were music festivals, and so we played colleges and music festivals and clubs and pretty much all over the country.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was a wild time.
Yeah, those times were.
And we were good and young.
That does help. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Jeff the B-Man just brought in some cake for
Grandma's birthday.
She's 91 today.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
And she was singing, actually. She did some singing. She sings and plays the guitar.
I love that.
So,
is her name Grandma?
Stella. Grandma Stella.
Grandma Stella. Well, happy birthday to her.
Indeed.
Indeed.
And sorry, where were? Oh, yes, we interrupted by the cake. You were talking about, you're right, you were doing the touring with all the people from Olivia and that whole women's right. movement, music movement at that time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for me at that time, it was wonderful living in San Francisco. It was such a new phenomenon that there's specifically a women's music movement. That was very exciting.
But certainly gave voice to women who didn't otherwise have venue or voice. It gave women the opportunity to develop their own skills, and I actually became a recording engineer during that time in 1978. I started engineering in San Francisco, and Olivia was developing their own kind of skill set as record producers and distributors and a record company and label. And it was pretty interesting in wild times.
Yeah.
Pretty wild times. So it was fun.
Yeah. Oh, no, San Francisco at that time was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it when I first got here. So perhaps would you like to play something from that time, from Oregon Mountains? Is there anything?
Well, I brought banjos with me.
Oh, okay.
But you could, if you want to play something off of Oregon Mountains.
We could do.
We could do that.
Ah. Let's see. I suppose we should go with the first one, really, because that's with you. Actually, no, not the first one. I came to California. I've totally forgotten the name.
Oregon Mountains.
Oh, that's it, yeah. Well, let's just do that.
Play Oregon Mountains.
My mind's going black.
It's all right.
Oh, dear. So,
that's a good standard.
Indeed. Now I've got to see which side it's on. And everyone can get a good idea of what, from back in 1977.
This land, and now it feels like home to me. It's where my heart will always be. Oregon mountains calling to me, reaching out to the sea.
Yes, that's Oregon Mountains by Woody Simmons, and she is here in the studio with me. And that was off her first album from 1977. Was it I can never say this right, eponymously named? Oregon Mountains, when it's the same name as the name of the album. Eponymous, something like that.
It's the name of the album.
It's the name of the album.
It is. The album was named after the song.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, which came first, yeah. The album or the song.
And I apologize to people who think I actually live in Oregon, but I don't.
So you never lived there?
I did not. I rehearsed in Oregon because I played with a couple of people that lived in Oregon, and I would come down from Seattle, and we rehearsed. And I love Oregon, and I thought it was so beautiful, I wrote a song about it. And I have gotten letters from people who thank me because they then moved to Oregon and think it's so beautiful and love it there. And it is. It's a very cool place to live.
Mm.
So.
Oh, interesting.
But I live in California.
Okay.
I like the Bay Area. And,
yeah.
Have many friends in the Bay Area, and hi to all my friends in the Bay Area.
Indeed.
So that's where I live.
I don't blame you at all.
So
if you've got to live in a big conurbation metropolitan, you know, it's not too bad.
And the big question is, though, why do you live in Occidental?
Well, I live in Sebastopol, which is just a few miles, you know, 3 miles away. But
well, I know, I thought it was like 5 minutes, but it's really more.
Because of the winding roads.
You wind up here,
right.
You're winding. Who knew?
I know, but, well, this, you know, I lived in San Francisco for 30 years. And actually, it all kind of, one of those out of bad things come good. I really severely broke my ankle, and I was living up on the second floor, so I was like stuck for months. I couldn't really get out.
Oh, that's
so
terrible.
Yeah, so I thought, well, I nearly need to maybe get a place on the ground floor or something, you know, thinking of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking around, and
and you had to move up here to find a ground floor.
It was the only ground floor.
It was really
place
the only ground floor place you could find.
You don't know how hard it is out there.
Yeah, it's hard.
The
that's very funny.
But I've been coming up this area for years. I remember coming up to see Johnny Otis. You know, he had his show on KPFA up here at in Sebastopol every week, and so I used to came up here to see him when he did his show here. So,
mm-hmm.
So I knew the area, and it seemed a logical thing to maybe move here.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
It's very nice up here.
It is. Now, yes, you talked about going to, when you first got here, you went to some communes.
Mm-hmm.
And I dare say there's a few of them still going, actually. They're still thriving, funnily enough. So this is like a little bubble here from the 60s.
It is a bubble. Yeah, and there's right now there's a big market going on outside and lots mm-hmm. of people, and there's music and you can hear it. It's fun.
Indeed.
Nice people. The weather is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case you're not having beautiful weather and you're listening, it's beautiful.
Yep. Don't all move here now at once.
So, yeah.
So you're listening to Woody Simmons on Cows Radio. This is Arnaldo, your host of Tommy Zolody Camp, every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. on Cows Radio. And you can get us at www.kows.fm on your computer. And you can even get it on your smartphone if you get that special app, Radio Box, or the free public radio one. You can then download Cows and listen to us anywhere in the whole darn world. Isn't that wonderful technology now?
It's amazing.
You know? Now, look at... Now, we played about Les Paul earlier. Now, there's an absolute giant in the music business in terms of what he invented. He created rock music, in a way, by the electric guitar.
He was an incredible inventor. But I don't know if people know that he was this amazing guitar player, too. I mean, he was phenomenal. But... I mean, can you imagine? I was reading a little bit about him. Was it in the 30s or the 20s? I can't remember. It must have been in the 20s when he first took like a phonograph needle and and stuck it on a guitar and under some strings to see if he could get some sound out of it. And from that, he made this stick that was like this electric guitar on a stick. And people laughed at him and thought, oh, that's pretty funny. Ha, ha, ha. What are you going to do with that? So then he put wings on it to make it look sort of like a guitar. And oh, my God. But he was such, he was a genius. I mean, he was an amazing, amazing man. So,
yeah, you know, so
we all have a lot to thank Les Paul for. So
now he was so fast. He would have been an amazing banjo player, wouldn't he? With the way his fingers moved.
Maybe, yeah.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, he would have been.
Yeah.
Maybe he played banjo. We just don't know.
Huh.
Who knows?
Have to do some investigation on that.
But he was still playing jazz up until, like, I don't know, a little while ago.
Like, yeah.
Recently, even.
Wow.
So he's still out there with 94 years old playing music, so it can be done.
Yeah, and we should have, if he's still around, we could have introduced him to Stella, and they could have done, he could have been the new, she could have been the new Mary Ford.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can see them now on America's Got Talent or whatever it is.
You just stuck your hand in the cake.
I suppose I have to lick the cream off now.
I guess you're going to have to do that.
Well, would you like to play a little something whilst I lick this off? And
okay. This is my little travel banjo. Take the headphones off so I can tune. Sound like I'm underwater.
Is it collapsible then? Is it a travel banjo?
No, this is it. It's this little thing. And so far, the airlines have been very kind about letting me take it on. Mm. But it's not very big, so.
Yeah.
It has a normal head size, 11 inches, but a very short neck.
Mm.
So I tune it way up. So, a couple years ago, I think in January of 2008, I had a 30th anniversary concert at the Brava Theater in San Francisco, and it was the anniversary of Oregon Mountains. And actually, I also remastered Oregon Mountains and re-released it as a 30th anniversary special edition, which that actually my stuff is on my website, woodysimmons.com, but it also links to CD Baby so that all the sales go through CD Baby. Okay. So you can look me up there or on my website. But so the 30th anniversary copy special edition is really the first time I manufactured Oregon Mountains on CD. I was doing one-offs for a long time. And I mean, I didn't really know if I should manufacture it or not, but it's been very successful, so that's a good thing. So,
yeah.
Anyway, this is a new song that I actually did play this at the Brava. And,
okay.
It's called Sailor Girl. And I'm tuning. Okay. Here we go. Thank you.
Ooh, yeah, get that last little reverb.
Yeah, a little reverb there.
So that is brand new. That's not even on your most recent album
not
that came out
yet,
last
no,
year.
No.
Now, that's what I want to ask you is, there was an incredibly long time between your second album and your third. Something like 20 years.
Oh, is it that long?
Well, yeah.
What was like I doing?
1980 to like 2001,
yeah,
I think.
I know. I know.
Here was I waiting and waiting and nothing was coming out. It was...
Well, you know, I took a detour for a while, which actually was a good thing. And did something entirely different.
Oh.
But actually, you know, through the 80s, till probably about 87 or 88, maybe 87, I started a rock band.
Oh.
It was my rock band. And I did some recording, and I actually have never released any of the recordings. I have pretty much a whole album of rock tunes.
Ooh.
And I took the band over to Great American Music Hall and was doing a gig there with my rock band. And people got up and left.
Oh, no.
Because I wasn't playing the banjo.
Oh.
And they were walking out. She's not playing the banjo. They came to hear the banjo.
Yeah.
It was, you know.
Oh, dear.
Got a little disheartening.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, okay, maybe I'll do something else for a while.
Now you know what.
So I did something else for a while.
We know you know what Dylan felt like. Newport.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, electric.
I know. Boo. So then about 1999, actually because of this new career, I learned a lot about computers. I'd never actually used a computer up until the time of like 89, 90. I had never used a computer, and there were those little Macs. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I learned a little bit about computers, and I also bought a couple ADATs and did some digital recording, had my own studio in my house, and started recording all these banjo pieces that I'd been working on. And put together Banjorama, which I took off of both Oregon Mountains and Woody Simmons' album, the three tunes that are instrumental, and put together the rest of it, and made a little banjo instrumental album.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, since then, I've I'm working with this guy, Julian Pollock, who's a student at NYU in composition, but he's very, very talented. He's a very talented jazz pianist. And he's been helping me with orchestrating four of the pieces off of Banjorama for a symphony.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we are turning that into a concerto.
Ooh.
And it'll be four movements with four of the pieces. And he's doing an outstanding job, and so I'm very excited about that. That should be done very soon, actually. And so we'll see about getting that, a performance of that. So
that would be amazing.
That's what I'm working on right now. So,
whoa.
And also, I've been writing some songs, and I actually have recorded one song, and actually, this is it.
Uh-huh.
And this is something, it's one of my favorite things I've done.
Oh, okay.
And it's for all my friends in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And all my friends who love Hawaii.
Hanalei.
It's for, it's called Take Me Back to Hanalei.
Shall I put it on?
Put it on.
I'll put it right on.
Put it on.
So this is literally hot off the press.
Hot.
Very hot.
It's quite hot.
Okay.
I met the nicest folks on a river boat in Hawaii. I learned the hula dance. I danced at every chance. chased along the sand, a coo, a hound, who crab in Waipuli. I was very sad when I knew that I had to leave. Take me back to Honolulu. I think about you every day. I miss the coconut cheese and sway. Turtles in the bay. I love to snorkel.
That was Woody Simmons, hot off the press, Take Me Back to Hanalea. And, yeah, that's a long way from Oregon Mountains.
Maybe there's a theme there, though, you know, sort of the outdoorsy theme.
Oh, maybe that's
and
it.
And the mountains and the...
That's true. Yeah. Do you get out there? Do you do a lot of hiking and just out in camping or just getting out in the country?
People would laugh if I said yes.
Oh, no.
I'd say, yeah, right. I'm a musician. What do you think?
Oh, he's in that smoky studio at 3 a.m. all the time.
Yeah. What do I do? I like to go for walks. Mm. When I'm in Hawaii, I like to go swimming in the water. Mm. I love to snorkel.
Oh, okay.
It's one of my favorite things in the whole world.
Oh.
Yeah. I love to see the fish.
Oh, yeah.
I like animals. Yeah.
Hmm. Now that's
well, that's a good segue into that, isn't it?
That was
who knew? God, boy, I don't know. I'm on. Right? you know, I did want to say one thing. I was approached by Mel Watson, who is a saxophonist who toured with a band from Australia, I think called Fruit, and Mel asked if I would be willing to put We'll Save the Animals, which is a song off of Woody Simmons' second album, on this compilation album called Compassionism, which I looked up in the dictionary and it's not a word. Well, but...
good start.
But 100% of the proceeds from the sales of that Compassion album will go to PETA.
Hmm.
Now, you know, I think PETA does some really good things. I went on their website and looked at a lot of their stuff. I don't agree with some of the tactics.
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, they do get the word out.
Right.
And they do care.
Right.
And they actually, I was reading what they had to say about Michael Vick.
Oh, yes.
And I thought they were pretty low-key about it, considering what he did. And he kind of ruined watching football for me, I think, since he got rehired.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody has their opinion. And you can actually go to sfgate.com, the Chronicle, and you can read a lot of different opinions about it. It's pretty interesting. But anyway, so I said, yeah, go ahead and use it. Mm. I think it's a good use.
Yeah.
I would love for that song to do some good. So
yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we look after animals, that means we're looking after ourselves.
We are, indeed.
Mm-hmm. And
We like cows.
Look after your neighborhood cows.
Please do.
Shall I?
Is it up?
I should put it up. Yes, it just so happens that we have Who'll Save the Animals tuned right up, ready to go. Well, yes. That was Who'll Save the Animals? And by Woody Simmons, my guest in the studio today. And I understand you speak Whalish.
The beginning of that song has a tuba, and it was played by Libby Gray, and it was to mimic humpback whale sounds. She did a fabulous job on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounded just like it was the real thing.
Yeah, no, she did a really fabulous job on it, so that was really fun. What's the phone? People are calling? Somebody's calling?
Yeah, for some reason it's not meant to be making any noise, though.
Hello?
Stop ringing.
Maybe they want to ask a question.
I'll speak for
you
them.
You know, see what they want.
Hello, cows. Yes, it is.
We have a question coming over from the phone. Oh, someone has actually called in.
Yeah.
And we don't know the question yet.
Let me just get you on the air.
Wait, on the air.
Okay. Dan? Hello, Dan?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
We can.
Oh, fantastic. Woody, how are you?
Hello, Dan. How are you?
Good. Hey, Arnaldo, I just have to tell you that the KOWS stands for Kauai Owns Woody Simmons.
I love that. That's my favorite thing in the whole world now. Cows.
Hold on.
We want to thank you, first, Arnaldo, for having such a great program and that it streams over the web and it just comes over here in Kauai so clear. And we appreciate this opportunity that we get to hear Woody, who we just love anyways, to hear her music and then also hear all the background about her history through your interview. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm just so excited to have Woody in the studio here, just loving her and her music for over 30 years.
Yeah,
thank you.
You know, what's really interesting is that there's a lot of interest here in Kauai from some of the local musicians who have not really listened or heard a banjo before, and Woody has played for a few select folks here, and there's going to be, I think, the next time Woody comes back to Kauai, there'll be a musical fusion of maybe a little bit of ukulele and Hawaiian melodies in with some of her very nice melodic banjo tunes. So we're really looking forward for her to come back.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming back. I always want to go back.
Hey, why not? My goodness. What's the weather like there right now?
You know, with the wind chill, it's about 83.
That's hilarious, Dan.
It's, you know, it's really hell when you have to put on sunblock every
and
day.
It is hell. It is just hell.
Yeah. As long as the lava's not flowing too close to you, I suppose.
Yeah. No, not too much here. That's on the Big Island.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, but anyways, Woody, we just enjoyed hearing your Hanalei song, and that's, of course, one of our favorites. And Little Bonnie was dancing and swaying to it as it was playing.
I love that.
Well, very good. Well,
thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. I hope you come back soon. And Arnaldo, keep up the fine work. You've got a great program.
Say hi to everybody on Kauai.
I sure will. Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you so much, Dan.
That was fun.
All right. Hey, worldwide. Isn't that incredible? Just a little station and people can listen in anywhere in the world.
It's amazing.
You know?
I think everybody who's listening should call one person somewhere else in the world from where they are and have them tune in and call in and say, I'm in Germany listening to you right now. I'm in Peru. I'm listening to you right now. Because, you know, lots of people have computers out there.
That's right. That's right. So you just have to go to www.kows.fm.
Okay.
And you can get us and listen, and you can call us at area code 707.
If you'd like to make a call, hang up.
Excuse me.
Are we hanging up yet?
Oh, man.
There she is. Okay. Thank you very much.
As I was saying, the phone number is 707.
I love community radio.
Yeah, our sumptuous studios and full of high-tech engineers. It's wonderful to see.
It's wonderful. Wonderful.
It's what makes America great.
You say so.
Well, we try and believe it.
Okay.
So, where was I? Oh, yeah, we're going to do some your new album, Mile by Mile. Maybe you want to tell us something about that?
Yes, I released this album actually last year. And the song that we're going to listen to, Can't Go Home, I actually wrote that driving across 80, Interstate 80, to Iowa to go, visit some family. And I was actually on my way to New York, but driving across the country. I don't know if you've never driven across the country. It is just an amazing trip to go from climate to climate, from terrain to different terrain, and how it's so gradual, and yet you get there, and it's just amazingly different everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing.
Yeah.
But I was also on my way home, and so that was an interesting trip. So I wrote this song, actually, on the road.
Wow.
There with my pen, driving by myself, my pen and an envelope, writing lyrics.
At least you weren't texting.
I was not texting. I did get a ticket, but I was not texting. So, there you have it. That's my story.
Okay, we believe it.
Okay.
Well, let's do You Can't Go Home.
Still hear Granddaddy laughing.
And I'll always remember those hot summer days. And the nights we could almost touch the stars. But you can't go home. No, you can't go home. Nothing stays the same. We're all on this road, so don't think you're alone.
Was You Can't Go Home by Woody Simmons, my guest in the Cow Studio this wonderful Friday evening in, commune-friendly Occidental. And Woody is here in the studio with Cows. You can call us at 707-874-1073. Dan called just before from Hawaii, so that was wonderful. People are listening all around the world. So if you're listening, let's hear from you. 707-874-1073. Now, Woody, I know we wanted to talk about your work on the your banjo album, Banjo-Rama, and you did a lot of research before you worked on the album.
I did research mostly before I came here.
Oh.
Yeah.
A quick study.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the process that I went through writing for the banjo, and especially on this song, which incorporates an Indian instrument, tamboro, which is a droning instrument used for meditation and singing and all kinds of things, and also tabla, which is a drums, mm-hmm. Indian drums. And I guess my what I want to talk a little bit about and what point I want to make here is that in all different cultures, there are instruments used to reach a higher level of consciousness. And music is a very intriguing and interesting way to get to a place. And people have used music. Either you may chant Om, which is a musical way of chanting that primordial sound of the universe. Mm-hmm. And or you can use instruments that have drone that take your consciousness into a whole nother level. And so what I looked up is, you know, the obvious ones like bagpipes. Have you ever been in front of a bagpipe troupe or band?
One or two, but not a whole bunch of them, I don't think.
Well, the only time I've ever been in front of more than one or two or three was we were visiting Prague, and every night at the same time was this entire group. There must have been, I don't know, 30 of them. All bagpipes would march across the river on this bridge, and we would just happen to be walking across the bridge, and they were coming right at us. And the drone of that, you know, it hits you right in your chest. It hits you in the very primordial center of your being, and it scared the piss out of the enemies. They would march in front of the armed people with guns and, you know, the army, and they would scare people because it was so loud and scary, and it would really frighten people. So anyway, that's one way to use it.
As a weapon.
You know, but here's
now, were they wearing kilts, though?
Yes, they were.
They were? Wow. In France, they were wearing kilts.
I was shocked. I was like, where are these people coming from? This is Prague. And in Africa, there's a 21-stringed gourd harp called a kora, and it also has many different drone strings. And the obvious ones would be like tambura. Sitar has sympathetic strings. Many, I don't even know how many there are underneath the playable strings. There are sympathetic strings that are just tuned to kind of a drone sound. There's a type of bowed dulcimer native to Iceland called langspiel. And there's another one in Norway called hardanger fiddle or hardingfele.
Oh, great accent, too.
Thank you. And anyway, the list is on and on. I looked up all these things. In Russia, there's a thing called the gudok, and that is a bowed instrument that also has drone strings on it. And I don't know, I have more, but you know, it goes on and on. But the point is, every culture has something like this, an instrument that is a more traditional instrument that has these drone strings. And they, and whether you're aware of what the drone string is doing or you're not aware, it doesn't really matter. What's happening is it is really resonating with your entire being. And it really, it makes it very attractive to people. They may not know why they're attracted to it, but it, because it does resonate, it brings that, it puts your mind into a whole nother state. So anyway, when I was working on these banjo pieces, I felt that. I really connected with that, with the banjo, especially on Banjo Raga, where it's tuned and, you know, it's all drone. Really, the tuning is a drone kind of tuning. So I wrote this piece called Raga Rama, which is the first cut on, excuse me, I'm drinking sparkling water and burping, on Banjo Rama. And it does incorporate a tambura, and it does have that kind of droning quality to it.
Right. So, should we play that?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have that up? Is that up?
It isn't. I will do that.
Okay, wait. I can talk about more. Let's
please
see.
Please do. Oh, please do.
let's see. There's a, there's another thing called a dotar. I'm not sure what country that's from. Oh, in China. There's a thing called a pipa, and then there's a Japanese biwa, and these are both kind of lutes that have, now this is interesting, a lute that has a the drone strings, and in the Arabs have a classical lute called an oud.
Ah, the oud, yes.
Yes.
Now I have an interesting story in that. Dick Dale, you know, the surf guitarist. Very interesting. That whole, that whole surf sound on the guitar. He's actually Arabic extraction, and his uncle taught him that from the oud.
Interesting.
So actually, surf music is oud music.
That is wild. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great story. The didgeridoo.
Oh, the didgeridoo.
That's very Australian.
My goodness, yeah.
And a gagaku, which is Japanese, it's sort of a, it's a, and then there's this, I don't know what it is, gagaku. Not sure what that is. A pre-polyphonic vocal music of late medieval Europe is also very droning. So they used actually vocal music in medieval Europe as kind of a drone thing. So instead of like singing om, they're ringing, you know, it's like this drone thing.
Yeah, that chanting was popular recently, wasn't there? That
yes.
Gregorian chanting.
Yes, Gregorian chanting.
Yeah.
Yes, or chanting.
Chanting. It's enchanting.
As you say.
I try to say it.
so, you know, the list goes on.
Anyway. Yeah, well, let me put the song on, and we'll see what the how you've really interpreted that.
And if anybody wants to call in and ask questions, we can talk. We can talk to them.
Yes, during the song, phone number in the studio, 707-874-1073.